Thank you very much. I've already done a set earlier on today. Now, what will I do? Okay, I do two pieces, one of my own and one of my translations, which have appeared in the book. Can you pass the book over? No, I didn't mean that. It's okay, I didn't mean that. That was a joke, actually. And I meant to show you, because I have it with me. So I'll do my own piece first. It's quite an old piece, really. But you know how some pieces only click into place, like a spine after years even of resting? So this one has only just clicked into place, and it might hurt a little. The Unwanted Children. There once was an unwanted woman who met an unwanted man. Alone they had wandered through darkness in search of compassion and care. It was spring and life was rejoicing, celebrating new light. And with anxious anticipation, she conceived in a full moon night. They held each other with longing, but couldn't feel love in their hearts. Fearing the other's rejection, they both were bearing the dark. In doubt of the power of love, their souls closed up and grew cold. So the man abandoned the woman, and broken she walked on alone. Groping the depth of her sorrow, she dreaded the tender new life. Afraid of the weakness of love, she refused her full moon child. And when the cycle completed, the baby was born in the night. Grieving in pain of rejection, the woman neglected the child. There once was an unwanted mother who had an unwanted child. The child lives in fear of rejection, unwanting, still haunting its mind. Now there's a chain of rejection, scared of the heartaches of life, bonding all unwanted children. Will it ever end in the light? Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a very tried form, I acknowledge that. So the second piece I'm doing is almost trying, I need my full trade for that. What did I say about the piece? I'll give you the German first, I'll give August Stramm the honor first. August Stramm is a German writer who was an expressionist, so he published in 1913 to 1914-15, and he fell in the First World War on the 1st of September, and that is why I gave him a present celebrating his literary legacy, and I translated his love poetry. And that book is out, and proudly out. And I'm coming up with performances now, and hopefully soon I'll be celebrating a book launch somewhere in Cork. I still haven't heard back from the library or any of the other places I've approached. So if anyone knows a place where I can hold a book launch, that'd be brilliant. So this piece is called, this piece addresses the multitude of yous we can love. Waver mind. No, German first. Wankelmut. Mein Suchen sucht. 4000 wandeln ich. Ich taste ich und fasse du und halte dich. Versehne ich und du und du und du. 4000 du und immer du, allwege du. Wirr, wirren, wirrer, immer wirrer durch die Wirrnis. Du, dich, ich. Wavermind. My searching seeks
many thousand wonder I feel I and grasp you and hold you for longing I and you and you and you many thousand you and forever you omniways you wildered whirling weirder evermore whirled through the turmoil you for you I.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. And next on the open mic list is Mr. Colm Scully.
Tonight it's called Culture Night. Culture me ass, don't talk to me about culture. There's no culture in Cork. I'll tell you about culture. The Butler Exchange Brass and Reed Band. Well, that's culture. There was men playing that who played for royalty, old Fusiliers, trained in London. There was one for the Stapleton who played for the King, Windsor Palace. There were seven or eight in bands in Cork at that time. They'd be besting each other for Sunday morning though in the park. Such a rivalry, and that's back in the 40s now. And choirs don't talk to me about the choral festival. Bring in fellas from abroad. There were great choirs in Cork long before that. I remember up in the North Cathedral, but a Jerome had a choir. Bass, baritone, tenor, whatever you like. Elias from Leicestershire couldn't believe it when he heard them. He was stunned. Culture night, how are you? Do you know what killed culture in Cork? The Republicans, when they broke down the Opera House. My God, the old Opera House, what a beautiful building. It had a wonderful circular entrance coming over at the end of the place. And the guard's old metal staircase inside. And the shows on Saturday night, my God, Gilbert and Sullivan, the Gondoliers. No, that was the show. Do you know that's your father, isn't it? The Gilbert and Sullivan Society. That's not music, I had no idea. Even Sunday in the 70s got to pot. Gone are the days when we'd hear John McCormack of a morning singing a beautiful melody from Thomas More. Oh, Billy, therefore, those endearing young charm, which I gaze on so fondly today. Notice all that in the Beatles. I wouldn't give you a tuppence for him. That's culture for you. You're all culture now. But then you're a culture and they're culture there, all you have to do now is pick up a brush and you're an artist. I could tell you about that. James Barry from Warry Lane walked himself up from nothing, painted the gods. That's what art should be about. Mirroring the heavens. Do you ever see any of his stuff? Classical. That's what it's all about. Copying the ancients. Studying the masters. Like St. Mary's and Pope's Kiara Courthouse. Oh, that's real architecture. Not like that St. Francis. They ruined that too. Knocked down a beautiful building to be led by Byzantine. What would they know about churches? The Greeks? The Italians. That's who we should follow. That's where culture was born. Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Pavarotti. There's no culture in Cork. Not anymore. The only cultures in the world. And even that's not right. I could tell you about butter, real butter. Made the old way.
Book for sale there, Colm. Yeah, and he'd sign it and everything. Okay, thanks. Okay, next up, tonight's latest slam winner, Mary O'Connell.
Woo!
You really want to
get out?
I do!
Oh, mother, Colm.
Okay, this is an old one. It's called, thank you, Royal Flush. It's square, quite grey,
and stands outside the city library. The sole public convenience is not exactly free. Drop 20 cents into a slush, and you, as well as me, along with Michelle Pfeiffer, can have a silent pee. Consumed by curiosity, I went up towards the door. A girl came out, so I went in. My knee to go was sore. I hadn't read what I should do, nor put in 20 cents. Dear God, I wondered if by chance I'd gone into the gents. The automatic door slid shut. I pressed the special lock, then lowered myself onto the bowl. I got a nasty shock. A lever shot out from the wall and pushed against my arm. My jeans were round my ankles as I rose up in alarm. Then water spurted everywhere and drenched me down below. I hadn't even pulled a chain that might start off the flow. While locked inside that box of steel, I wrestled out of sight with sopping tights and handbag. I got another fright while doing my best to button up. The automatic door began to open inch by inch. I sank down to the floor. If you use this mad contraption to avoid looking a freak, you should study the instructions before you take a leak.
Let one hold perspective. Our foul, born empty. We expect others to fill in with little to no explanation. We want them to get the feeling. Watch me. Oh, you were heard. But not everyone understands your language. Am I not special? Yes, like the rest of the herd. Shall we hit you on or up? From which angle shall we engage? Does anyone really know what we observe? Are atoms on top of atoms, randomness, spawn systems? Law, belief, or God, regardless what we serve. This reduction, however, is nothing left of an universe stance. We may fixate on what's fresh, either healthy, sick, thin, or fat. But quite few will wonder how, in a box of flesh, alive is the soul of the cat. Schrodinger beings, floating in life as it is. Are we sinking or swimming? And we struggle, splash around, sending toward another, one another, emotional tides that no one sees. Are we thinking or screaming? We do not understand each other. There is no obligation. In a way, we are all brother and sister. The trick is truly to shift our angle of perception.
I'm going to stick with my mother's team. He's a true poet about shit. Well, it's a haiku based on William Carlos Williams. He was writing a preface for Allen Ginsberg's poetry, and I just took the reference from that. It's called Shit. Life trundles along between teat and excrement, devouring itself. And this is called A Short History of Roughage. After the flush, the floater, bobbing happily in the bowl like a seahorse.
And next up is Patricia Walsh.
This is not scatological. It's called Open Wound. A cupped nerve gaping at nothing, in particular, festers at will, separates on demand, carved at foot, a thorny lesson in the bitter heels. The spokesman shoes don't mind avoid the issue. Max was signing sticking plaster for some time. Blood on occasion washes out the gunk. A moist challenge in another shoes. Dancing in time to excruciating pain. I can only offer up so much misery at a time. Suffering has its limits. Causing the heel, pouring out its filth. It will pass, I know. Avoiding gangrene is good. Blood poisoning is the only comfort I know. Respecting my privacy over all other causes. Not yelping at will, suffering under umbrage. Use my head for something besides bright fantasy. Pick off the scabs on its fine journey. Some satisfaction in on its ultimate trips. A limit to endurance, a finite walk. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Now, I'm really sorry, I can't read the next name properly. Is it Mene?
Maria.
Sorry. Marie? Yeah, that's the Marie. Yeah. Hello, Marie.
I thought there were like
another
five people at home. Thank you. It's a little bit to overcome my shyness and to see what you think, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. So the title is Passing By Time Won't Make Any Difference If The Outcome Of Conclusions Meets Resistance. What is the point of living if we breathlessly fight with each other over religion and money plight? The only battle one should ever conquer, when one from within feels completely bare, deprived of features, making oneself to work hard for love, sharing, acceptance, to be on perpetual guard. Listen, listen, listen. Not only until you clearly hear, but until understanding another one is your main gear. Justifying violence, abusiveness in order to build fear. Oh, in bloody and animalistic tears humanity will tear. In wars in the name of one's neglected improvement, regardless of countlessly distracted bereavement. Sacrificing human lives as they drop like flies. The growing tower of dead bodies which one denies. On behalf of unconcluded ideals. On behalf of given reason, no matter what is defended, to hurt and kill is treason. Apparently, these are not dark ages lacking communication. Yet, apparent lack of thereof clearly leads to condemnation. On the basis of comparison and fraction of what one knows, judgments are made on which plummeting hatred grows. One is chokingly, and its chokingly even roots are stronger than logic. This in itself makes everyone's rational brain stick. If there is anything one should not be tolerant of, it should be destructive ego and all branches thereof. Nobody is to order what does not classify as important. Vibrancy of values around the globe will not be tangent. yet all can and should strive to live in cooperation, even by cost of your own behavior flexion, not to fully compromise your own identity, but a little is needed to achieve global amity. Do not say it is impossible, as everything is curled. Fact is, the plural we live in is only one world.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Marie. Well done. I wasn't going to do any poem or anything tonight, but I was impressed that there's someone here. There's two people here that remembered a poem I did probably last year. They even remembered the name. So I think I can remember it, so I'll do it. So it's called Feminism. If I were a man, I'd spend time with my mother, encourage her story to unfurl out of soft silence. If her words were buried too deep, I'd read between the lines on her hands. If I were a man, I'd ask my mother to recite recipes so my hands may honor my palate long after her bones go to sleep. My children's lives would be enriched by this, each meal evoking an earthly kiss. If I were a man and I had a sister, I'd cherish her, embrace her giddy ways, and respect her need for solitude. I'd curse those boys who grapple and tease, commanding my sister on her knees. If I were a man and I had a daughter, I'd thank the heavens, then carefully nurture her feminine truth and play football with her. If I were a man and I had a female lover, I'd study her body with precision and grace. I'd know whether she wanted a fast, frisky frolic or slow motion in the ocean by the shape of the moon. I'd taste her neck when she least expects. But what would I know? I'm just a blonde with big tits in a man's world. Come on. The open mic list is done, but gladly Paul Casey said if there's room, so we're delighted to have you. And there's loads more room, so anyone else who wants to come up and do another poem, another piece, we've plenty of time, Paul, come on.
Thanks, Julie. I'm just wondering though, does anyone know how many pubs there are in Cork? Can anyone take an educated guess?
3 million?
63.
Too many.
63? I'm not sure that's the tip of the iceberg, I'd say.
750.
Maybe I'm wrong.
750.
300.
That's
my
own guess.
Google
it, for fuck's sake.
Okay. Anyway, there's a lot of barmen working out there right now, right? So anyway, whatever the number is, multiply it by 3, and that's how many barmen are actually working in the city. So this is for them. And it's called Bar Beings. Bar beings in some bars are unbearably bleak. The bar tops shine, beer mats are all brand new, but there's a blast of bitterness as broken beats abound in the heavy, quiet bouts. Not that they're always depressing bastards. I mean, you wouldn't hear them butchering the blues. I often just sense the poor buggers just bursting to get buried into a bottle of brandy or Bacardi or Bushmills. All those black labels, Buds and Becks, just staring up at them like lonely bar stools, waiting to be boosted and burled on some binge benefit beach way out of bounds. But they'd blow the business, the burden, and the bank would be bent on bouncing their bonds. Besides, they'd be backstabbing the bus, so they'd bear it. I go from baffled to bonkers just eyeballing them. What bowls me over is seeing them brighten up a bit once the banter and bustle begin. The busyness seems to abate the boredom and bring a buzz, banish the black bile. Bar beings in other bars bear belonging well. Even emptying bins, you'll often hear them whistle or hustle a bit of bebop maybe, a light breakbeat, beatboxing their way along, not a bother. No matter how back-breaking the barrels, they'd be belting out Bowie or Bronski beat, or the whole of brewing up with Billy Bragg, or go ballistic with Black Sabbath. Some bar ladies are ballerinas, powder bureauing their bubbly bums and belly dancing up and down the boozer, topping up bits and bobs in the liquid buffet while balancing beers and Bordeaux, basically blindfolded, beguiling the last bead of Baileys from the bottleneck as the buyers flower like bindweed along the bar counter. Bless them. Happy to sort the breakages with no brouhaha, ballyhoo, nor that quiet bitching that booms in the brain like a burst blood vessel. Bomb, glare, and barb-free bliss. Boundaryless breaths of fresh breezes. Bar beings that blaze bright as banshees burning bacchanalian bonfires. Those highballs of beaming brilliance.
Thanks, Paul. So, there is an open mic.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant. Up you go. Oh.
How are you doing? I don't have anything prepared, but I'll not read a poem, recite a poem. This is about a very nasty Christian brother from CBS in Fermoy. And this is a little bit of retribution, maybe. Yeah, maybe a bit of revenge. I hope I can remember it. Walking to school. Bukul biog, ikshul, ikshul. Sack on back, not a clue. Late today, broken rule. Christian brother asks why. Neil is a gun. Boy replies. Swift inside, black soutan. Leather strap, burning hands, traumatized. Crazy eyes, swinging wild. For now, he's satisfied. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll leave it open, I'll just sit down and leave it open and we'll see what happens. Yay! Okay. What's your name, sir? Margaret. Margaret. Yeah. Margaret. This is a little piece of paper I found one time in a very old dictionary at home. The paper was just a little cut out from a newspaper and it was my grandfather's dictionary and it was totally almost brown, it was so yellow, if you know what I mean. But it goes like this, it's only a couple of lines. It was, I have only got a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced up to me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but up to me to use it. Give a count if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Yay!
This is the 150th anniversary of Yeats's can you hear me at the back?
Yeah.
I wrote this about 5 or 6 years ago and tried to get it into my latest collection and my publisher said, no. It's called, if you know there's a very famous essay by Harold Bloom, which is called The Anxiety of Influence. And it basically talks about the fact that the earlier generation is pressed down on the ones coming up and so on and so forth. And they feel this anxiety of influence. So this is called, this is my version, The Anxiety of Influence. Yeats, you cunt.
The open mic is so short tonight. I don't know any
of the
We're all lucky that I cut my set short at the Camden Palace today, because I have a few pieces left over. I'll do another one of August Trump's pieces. This time, it's an answer from the divine you. Erhört das Hauchen weht und wirft die Widerstände. Das Wehen bebt und schüttelt Halt zu Boden. Das Hauchen braust und wirrt die wühle Tiefe. Das Brausen schwirrt und schluchzt das Herzblut auf. Das Hauchen stürmt und reißt die Zeit in ewig. Das Stürmen stürzt und wirbelt in das Nichtsein. Du haucht das Du und hauchen, hauchen, hauchen stürmet Du. Many of his poems end on Du. Okay. Answered. The breathing blows and thrusts the barricades. The blowing quakes and shakes the hold to ground. The breathing howls and stirs the riven depth. The howling swirls and sobs the heart blood out. The breathing storms and raises time to aeons. The storming falls and whirls into inexistence. You breathes the you, and breathing, breathing, breathing storms you.
Well done. Good night. Thanks for coming. Good night to you up. Anyone else wanna?
Could I do a song from here?
I was just gonna say sing a song.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll sing it from here. I'll try. It's not my own songs, because my own songs I always sing with a guitar, but it's a song called Rosin the Bow, and it's a kind of a shanty, I suppose. So. You can join in on the chorus, it's different every time, but you get the hang of it. What's my name? Cooan.
Cooan, thank you.
Yeah. I don't have a guitar, so somebody give me a D then. There you go.
Perfect.
I travel this wild world all over, and off to another I'll go. Know that good quarters are waiting to welcome old Rosin the Bow. To welcome old Rosin the Bow, me lad, to welcome old Rosin the Bow. And I know that good quarters are waiting to welcome old Rosin the Bow. When I'm dead and laid out on the counter, a voice you will hear from below. Saying, send down a hogshead of whiskey to drink to old Rosin the Bow. To drink to old Rosin the Bow, me lads, to drink to old Rosin the Bow. Saying, send down a hogshead of whiskey to drink to old Rosin the Bow. Then get ye a dozen bra laddies and stand them all up in a row. And get them to dig a great hole in the meadow, and in it throw Rosin the Bow. And in it throw Rosin the Bow, me lads, and in it throw Rosin the Bow. Yeah, get ye a dozen braw laddies, and in it throw Rosin the Bow. I've only this one consolation, as out of this old world I'll go. I know that the next generation will resemble old Rosin the Bow. Will resemble old Rosin the Bow, me lads, will resemble old Rosin the Bow. I know No, not the next generation will resemble old Rosin the Bow. There's one more verse.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. Hold on. I feel that old tyrant approaching, that cruel, remorseless old foe. Let me lift up a glass in his honor. Take a drink to old Rosin the Bow. Take a drink to old Rosin the Bow, me lads. Take a drink to old Rosin the Bow. Let me lift up a glass in his honor. Take a drink to old Rosin the Bow.
Fantastic. Who needs a microphone? Maybe you can sing about that. Anyone else?
I'd have a song.
Actually, go on.
Another piece I did at the Camden earlier, some of you might have heard it before. It's a very personal piece. I started writing it before I had a brain injury, and I finished writing it when knowing that I had to have brain surgery, and the melody came flying to complete it the day after I was home from the surgery. So it tells a bit of that story really as well. It's called The Knitted Bridge. The gap is steep and gaping between the rugged cliffs, two mountain faces aching, no way to cross the rift. The water lingers black beneath, how many endless fathoms deep, and high above the clifftop spans, across the gap, a knitted bridge made from strings of woolen yarn. I stand and wonder, looking down, would this tightrope take my weight onto the far side in the shade? The cliffs are steep, I stand alone, wrestling with my fears and hopes. The gap is steep and gaping between the rugged cliffs, two mountain faces aching, no way to cross the rift. Will you be there on the other edge to reel me safely to the ridge? Will I dare to walk this ropey net across the glistening ocean face to a land obscured in darkness? I gain my courage and my trust and chance to step out on the path onto this knitted woolen bridge. It sways and stretches with my weight high above the whirling waves. The gap is steep and gaping between the rugged cliffs, two mountain faces aching, no way to cross the rift. I balance still and keep my eyes fixed out ahead along the tide to the rock crest on the other side. I take each step as I take each breath and tread with spirit, love and faith. And there on the cliff top in the dark, waiting, reaching out you stand. Overjoyed I lift my heart and dance the last stretch off the bridge to grasp with trust your offered hand. The gap is steep and gaping between the rugged cliffs, two rocks no longer aching, found how to cross the rift, to wax no longer aching, found how to cross the rift. Yay. Thank you very much.
She gave me a kiss where she feels like, as I take it on my skin, my heart ignites with a spark. I cannot put out the fire. Inside, I smile. When lover comes to meet me, I never want to let it go. She needs space, silence, and space, and absence. I feel that she's not mine, but she's my everything. Without her, I feel so mine. When love has come to meet me, how can I ever let it go? Where's she now? I don't know. We're both lost. She took the light away when I clung to it. Passion turned to darkness, and I remained puzzled and blind. When love has come to meet me, I never want to let it go. I walk on the dry land now. Acceptance tears through seas of pain. The road ahead matters more than what I left behind. I love my peace and silence in mind. When love has come to meet me, I've simply learned to let it go. She came around again and gave me a kiss.
So, this could get a bit awkward. Does that make sense? One more flash.
Sorry?
Yeah?
Can I sing a song?
Please do. I have to get your name as well.
Yeah, Brian. Brian. This song is, my father died in 95. And I wrote this song about his life. He was a tailor, where we're from I originally. So it's really kind of a social account of our family sort of growing up in Fermoy. And here it goes. It's called Tommy the Tailor. And there was 10 in our family, 5 boys and 5 girls, but one little boy died. Jim was his name. He was 7. So here it goes for my father, Tommy the Tailor. My father was a tailor from 5-6 Patrick Street, Vermont. My mother was a Kilworth girl, back then the apple of his eye. Her house was filled with laughter and filled with tears and full of noise. Our mom and dad both working hard for 5 girls and 5 boys. And chalk and thread in needles, and irons and scissors in his hands, thimbles on fingers, and he made clothes waits for long sighs me. Big trousers for me, farmer, a new suit for a businessman, suit tents for Christian brothers, and kilts and cloaks for piney bands. We lost our little brother. Jim was 7 when he died. I still recall my mother's strength. Silently we watched her cry. And chalk and threading needles, and irons and scissors in his hands, and thimbles on his fingers, he made clothes for all size men. My father was a tailor, and a gentleman was he. I still see him in his workshop, working for his family. Chalk and threading, irons and scissors in his hands, and thimbles on his fingers, he made clothes for all size men.
Oh, all right.